Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. This is your host, Mason Cosby. Today, I'm joined by Chris Moody, who is the chief evangelist over at DemandBase. Chris, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good to see you again.
Yeah, man. Always a pleasure to chat. For those of you that don't know Chris, he's worked at Topo, Gartner, now DemandBase. So he's been quite a bit around the ABM space. So I'm excited to dig into it because today what we want to focus in on is I think you'd be hard-pressed to find an ABM, or sorry, a B2B organization that has not tried some variation of ABM at some point in the past 5 or 6 years. But most of these programs have failed. So what we want to hone in on today is how should executives be thinking about building out their ABM programs or ABX or ABE or whatever you want to end up calling them, or their GTM program in such a way that actually drives a revenue impact and actually drives the business forward. So that said, Chris, I'm going to give you just the largest question to start us off with. But I mean, when you look at how many executives have approached building out programs like this, what are typically the ways in which they're approaching them that don't lead to successful program implementations?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a big one, as you said. I mean, I think you and I have talked about this not with the record button going, but the M has always been problematic, the marketing piece. And we can make fun of ourselves. I mean, we know the adage, marketers ruin everything. We've all heard this, right? I think in some instances, that is true. And one of the biggest problems I've seen, especially if we focus at the executive level. So if we're really trying to make this successful, I think many well-intentioned marketing executives have started ABM initiatives. They've built out incredible strategy decks and initiatives. They have their heart in the right place, and they're not really talking to sales. And, you know, not a frequent enough contact, not getting them on the same page. I think in many instances, we've seen where over the years, marketing will come in with this new shiny object, and we call it ABM. And then to many sellers, that's a slap in the face because they're going, look, dear marketer, holding them on the shoulder, hopefully not like around the neck, Latrell Sprewell style. And they're going to say, we've done this since the beginning of time. We've always focused on the accounts that we think will make us the most money because, spoiler alert, that's how we got our beach house or our boat or our new car. So marketing would come in with that great idea. Again, great intentions, great plans, great decks, great people. It's usually not the people. It's usually the alignment. And it's not aligning on the same metrics. It's not aligning on how we're going to execute this. And it's not actually figuring out when rubber hits the road, who does what? How do we really work together? So that will sometimes push it back on marketing, where marketing is doing a lot of activities to the right accounts, but there aren't great handoffs. We could argue that should there even be handoffs if we're working closely together? Probably not. It shouldn't feel like a big handoff, but usually it comes down to alignment. And I know we all cringe when we say that, but it's the truth.
So I'm curious, as you then think about this misalignment that often happens. And again, as I've looked at all the data, it's one of the top five reasons. And often it's number one why these programs fail is just a lack of alignment between marketing and sales. From a leadership level, if again, we've got CMO and CRO and CEO that are pushing this kind of a program, typically they're mostly aligned at the top. There might be some nuances, but they're aligned. So how are you seeing effective leadership teams actually push that alignment down to the level in which tactical execution is actually happening?
Well, top down, you're exactly right. I think it has to be the top down agreement, which usually happens. The problem is there are two paths. You know, you can walk out of the door of, hey, we're in the conference room, we're talking together, whether that's on Zoom or your favorite video conferencing platform, Teams, Skype doesn't exist anymore, whatever it's called. You can go left or you can go right. And taking a left turn is, hey, we were aligned in the room. Now we're going to go back to our desk and do the exact same thing we were doing before, but we might send a Slack message or an email and say, team, this is really important. Let's align. Let's get this right. and nothing changes. If you take a right turn, it's going out and saying, here's how we're going to start with this. And I'm a huge proponent of scrappy ABM, literally and figuratively, and saying, let's pick one account and get one group of people actually working together to change behavior and show the difference between what we did before and what we do now. And then we can figure out how do we scale more of that. But that's one huge piece. And, you know, our CMO, Kelly Hopping, she was just on a podcast and she will tell anyone who asks her until she's blue in the face, number one goal of marketing is to make sales love us. And there's a lot of sideways conversations that happen of our marketing's intentions really for us. Are we fighting for credit as marketers that works against sales, or are we committed to the game and saying, let's all work together? And, you know, I can tell you personally, as soon as we finish this, I'm recording a video. We call them M5. I do one every week. And M5, long story, but it's Moody Marketing Mojo Minute. Moody Marketing Mojo Minute. Something. Yeah, whatever it's called. I'll look it up. No, but there are five M's. And it's really a love letter to the entire organization of all the wins that we've had over the last week and then what we need to focus on for the next week. And every single week I do that. But long way of answering your question, we can't do the lip service thing. I mean, we have to be all about understanding the motivations of each other's groups and what will really help sales. And then you have to celebrate the wins. You know this, we've talked about this. This stuff's hard. If this was easy, it would not be hard to find a job. It would not be hard to stay in the same place for 5 years. It would not be hard to hit your bonus. Like, dude, it's a mess. This is really difficult stuff, but we have to be in the same game together and helping each other to get stuff done and not fighting for credit. So to me, that left path is nothing changes. We keep it the same. The right path is figuring out some actionable way that executives can enable this to start to happen. And sometimes that can be bottom up. So if someone's listening and they're going, well, Chris, great story, bro, but my CMO can't find their way out of a paper bag. Hopefully that's not the case, right? If that is the case, you can still make this work. You need to find a seller that you think does it the right way and pick an account together. You don't even have to call it ABM. Who cares? Right, shoot me for this, but who cares, right? Like, find an account. Find the person who you think is the best at sales, work together on doing it differently in a more personal, more relevant, strategic way, and just go and then see how it works. Because once you get one win, whether that's deal progression or tightening up the amount of time it takes to get from stage to stage, or if it is closed win revenue or booking meetings, whatever your initial win is, when you can start to show other sellers that story, sellers will follow the money. This is like Hansel and Gretel, right? Like, we just have to say, look, yeah, we've got to go 10 miles, but every step of the way, I've got to be putting a breadcrumb to help people move in that direction. And it might start with one person.
I especially just love the simple outline of what often happens, which is we all say the right thing in a room. And then we're like, yeah, I'm not going to go make any changes because it's hard. I like what I'm doing. I'm already familiar with this. This is easy right now. So why would I make any changes? We wait until, you know, well, once sales is actually like doing things a little bit differently, then I'll put in the extra effort. So again, we sometimes just wait for the other instead of leading and saying, I'm going to go first and actually make the change and do things differently. And then the other thing you just outlined is there are a lot of organizations in which leadership is not pushing this. And we still have different approaches that don't even align sometimes at the leadership level. I've typically said, if you're going to do an ABM program, either it's a big company-wide initiative or it's done in secret as a covert effort until it's been proven out. So I think those are the two ways. So I love that call out. Now, I'm curious, when we do see at the leadership level, let's say that there's a CMO listening into this and they do want to be more aligned with sales. How would you recommend a CMO bring this into the conversation at the executive level to talk about shifting our marketing program to be more account-based in nature?
Yeah. Well, I think a couple of different things. You're going to hear a lot from us in the space, demand base and individuals at demand base. So Gabe Rogel, our CEO, just did a big post about this. We've been talking about buying groups for a while. We're not the first. I think we are executing on it better than most, if not all. You know, analyst firms are going to talk about it a bunch too, right? The best way any CMO can start to get sales balled in is, first of all, walk hat in hand. We're both wearing hats, so this is great. Walk hat in hand and say, look, this is really hard. We know your job's hard. We're not an arts and crafts department. We've been working to change that mentality every place we've worked. We really want to understand how we can help better allocate our resources, people, money, time, to the accounts most likely to buy that are the highest value for you. But we really want to reach the right groups of people in those accounts. So yes, account-based marketing, but narrow subset is getting the right buying committee together. It's really hard. Lots of ways we could all help with that. But when you go in and say that, and then can just say, look, not asking for this to be some huge sea change to change how you work. We just want to be better plugged in to helping to understand what's happening on these calls, potentially join some calls. Hopefully we can add value to those. But most importantly, we want to figure out ways to get the highest value meeting we have, whether that's content turned into a presentation or thought leader joining something, whatever. It could be this, like, let's get your top prospect on a show that we host and we just talk shop and get to know them, but then we can give you all of that information. We want to get that cross-functional group of people together. So that's the way I would come at it, because every seller who's successful at all is trying to multi-thread and get multiple people at the right account all working and moving in the same direction. They can't be rowing against each other, right? I know I'm giving you a ton of metaphors and analogies, but I'm a visual person, and that's exactly what this is. So if I am a CMO, I am saying, hey, me personally, I would love to join at least one call a week where you think I would be beneficial to whoever you're talking to at that account. I don't even need context. All I really need to understand is what's the number one challenge they're trying to solve. I'll come in if I can help with that. I'd love to help. If not, I just want to be there to show them that we care about this. We're working together. We're trying to get this right. And just doing those small little gestures, sales is going to understand, hey, they're about this life. And if I'm also a marketer, try to sell something. Do a pitch contest. Join a call and, you know, it doesn't even matter what you're trying to sell. Like, try to sell something and understand how you deal with objections and what someone's going through. That's going to help us all create better messaging. And I don't just mean using an AI tool to do this all for you. The actual FaceTime of talking to potential buyers is one of the most important things. And as sellers gradually see that, they will want to communicate with you more. I mean, that when I worked in an office, Brian Clem, shout out Brian Clem. He's been really successful since, but this was many, many moons ago, four kids ago for me, just to give us some time reference here. Brian would come into my office after calls and say, this worked well. They didn't have any idea what we were talking about with this. And then we would keep it on a little whiteboard. Sometimes I wouldn't be in there and he'd write it on the board, like plus, minus. Get that feedback going and try to improve together. Because that's what this is just human behavior, right? We can talk about all the tactics and you have plenty of great episodes on that. But if we're thinking executives here, this is just showing them that our hearts and minds are in the right place and meaning it and backing it up and allocating resources to it as we start to prove success.
Well, you perfectly just teed up the next question, which is, as we think about the idea of resource allocation, that's another one of the top reasons that ABM programs typically fail is we may actually all say the right things. We actually have the best intentions, but I've often just seen ABM programs are kind of thrown at than one person. It's like, all right, marketing manager Susie, you've got it. So like,
yep,
go. And like, that doesn't really work. So as you think about the idea of resource allocation, like, and we've talked about, like, we have an ABM team, we've got an ABM leadership team. We're joining specific calls to make sure that we're actually all looking at the same data. I'm curious who is typically actually involved from a resource perspective within the team to actually build out a program successfully?
Yeah, that's another incredible question. You know, Topo, some of our research could actually be hurting folks because they may think it could only be one person. And I'll tell you why. When we researched this at Topo, the number one success factor of account-based programs, that it was a tie. Number one was alignment, which everybody cringes and rolls their eyes. We already talked about that. It's hard. That's the thing I would say. I would say you think you're aligned, probably not as good as you actually think you are, right? Like if we're honest. The second part of that, though, was having a dedicated account-based leader. That was the exact same number of respondents. So the number one answer was alignment and a dedicated account-based leader. So it might be marketing manager Susie, but marketing manager Susie has to understand that they can't be successful only by themselves. So we want to create kind of a pull strategy versus the push. And that's a huge thing. I know you're a fan of this with Scrappy. I've read your content, listen to your stuff, right? Like you need sellers asking for more help with account-based. So that's the first part. You have to have someone who has the right intention, whether it's job titled or not. We can do searches. There are people with ABM, ABX in their title. Like it happens. It's a thing that will continue to happen. But the bigger part of that is someone who's helping to coordinate that motion. And then you can show other folks how this works. We've seen a lot of organizations that will have cross-functional pods where they may pick people from different departments across customer success, marketing, sales, any other groups, and then have them work on a set of accounts, especially for companies that have huge deals with small numbers of accounts where you might have a true account plan. Then you can have the pod and say, these groups of people, they have these five accounts. But you have to have someone that's doing that coordination, and then they'll pull in the right people because of the things we know it has to have, right? Like it has to have great messaging. We hopefully can figure out ways to coordinate in-person events. Now, marketing manager Susie may not be the best at figuring out, do we have an event we can get these folks to? What's the exclusive experience if they're already going to this event? Or, hey, HubSpot's a partner. We're all going to be at HubSpot. What can we do in a satellite orbit to get these five people to do something together? So that's where we might pull in someone from events. There might be opportunities to better coordinate with social. So that part will be fluid. There's no one perfect recipe or team structure, in my opinion, but you have to have someone that understands the relationships between marketing and sales and between their buyers. And then as you do that, it's going to change a little bit based on the buying group or the account.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more on just the simple breakdown that there's got to be an owner. And then I typically think about it through the lens of you've got an owner strategist that also, if their internal functions a lot like a project manager, for lack of a word, that's just like, we've got this full program already pulled together and I need to pull in the right people to actually execute it. And that typically looks like some support from RevOps, some support from content, some support from design. And then I think about channel owners. So whoever like owns the channel, so that, and it's odd to think of field and events as a channel, but again, if you've got good channel owners that are then looped in on the actual program, like that's the team. And to your point, that's going to look different across organizations and across buying groups that we're trying to actually engage in. But as long as you've got like a strong strategist that is leading the program and can loop in the right resourcing, and leaders are allowing those resources to be looped in versus gatekeeping all of their team, then you should be set up for success. Anything to add on that front?
No, I think you're exactly right. I mean, for us at Demandbase, that the core responsibility sits in the growth team. So there are people on the growth team where that is their job. But exactly your point, there are times where they pull in someone from the experts team or from customer success or a different executive. We track marketer to marketer calls and the success of those. There are times where they might say, hey, this person's also doing a lot of cool stuff on LinkedIn. We need to get them on the podcast. Like, let's just create together so they can get to know some more people here. But it is that coordination. And that's the part. I mean, my senior superlative was friendliest. So I am very self-aware that there are times where I may skew unicorns and rainbows and try to make this some happy kumbaya moment. But I think that's what this is. I mean, it is literally trying to remove ego from the situation and figure out what is the single next best action for these people at this account. And then who is the best person for that next best action in our organization? There are times where it's the CEO. There are times where it might be a brand new hire who just started with social media, because you might talk to a CMO and they say, hey, I'm trying to figure out how I actually should structure my social media team. I don't know the newest trends. I used to do that 15 years ago. Like, who should I talk to? Hey, actually, we have someone who's brand new to this. Like, I'd love to get a call set up. It may feel a little weird, but they might have someone to refer you. And then boom, that could be the thing that unlocks sideways in that account. So that's the part where at the end of the day, this is just what makes the most business sense and not being so structured that you forget that. Like, you can't just run the exact same play for every account.
I love it. Last question for you, because you even alluded to it earlier, which is a lot of organizations feel they are aligned, but it's probably not as good as they think it is. And when we think about EBM programs, another reason it fails is a lack of measurement for success. And I'm curious, as you think about, like, how do you measure, are we actually aligned or not? And I know this is going to be more, for lack of like soft skills side, but I'm curious, what are some of the signs that you've seen in organizations that indicate we truly are aligned and we're actually ready to go and execute a program like this?
Ooh, that's a good one. At first, I thought you were going to say the output metrics. So I'm going booked meetings, right? Like, that's where I was thinking first. But let me try to make this somewhat controversial. Would sellers and sales leaders want to have dinner with you? If you're in town, are they going to take time out of their personal schedule to go to dinner with you? Not lunch. Lunch is easy. If you're in the office or if you're committed to someone being in town, lunch is a given. But would they miss time with their significant other to go catch up with you? And if not, I would argue, I mean, there are some where it's just personality, right? That happens. But the bigger point for me is if you're showing the right kinds of intentions behind the things that you're doing to drive your programs, any seller worth their salt is going to say, I'd love to get some time, love to catch up. And, you know, we had an event in London. Our head of sales there, Paul Gibson, love him. He's a co-host on our podcast. And we just went to dinner by ourselves. I mean, there were bigger groups and we caught up with other things too. But there are times where you just need that FaceTime with one seller or with one sales leader. What's going on? What's working? What can we do better? And then just catch up. So I can think of plenty of metrics, but if I had to pick one, that's a pretty good indicator, because I would argue if the answer is, oh, I'm really busy every time you try to hang out, there's probably a bigger issue going on at work where they're not seeing that you are prioritizing their needs and the work that you do. So they feel like it's lip service and then they're not going to give you the time of day. But again, rainbows and unicorns, that's my style a little bit. I'm more Ted Lasso than Bob Knight.
Well, first of all, love that. Second, I'm thinking about our own organization. And like, we've had a couple people that have come through town because I live in Indiana and it has been quite the season for basketball.
Poor Halliburton, man. I've torn both of my calves, just slightly less athletic than NBA guys, just like that much. But
yeah, same.
Dude, that was so hard to watch. Sorry, I interrupted you, but great season. I'm with you.
But all that to say, there's been a lot of people passing through town. And it's been really interesting to see who I see that was here on LinkedIn or on Facebook versus those that said, hey, I'd love to go get dinner, that are either clients or our team members. So it's been interesting on that front because it shows the level of alignment that we have with our clients or maybe the level of alignment that we have internally. And I will say every team member has reached out, but not every client has. And that was
That's awesome. And it goes both ways, right? Like in that scenario, because there are times I used to do a lot better job of figuring out where I'm going and who I should reach out to. I'm not as good as that now. But as good at that now, but sellers should do that too. So, you know, if a seller knows you're in town, most of the time you should be getting messages from a few of them. Hey, love to catch up. Even if it's coffee, we need to grab a Zoom before I've got this account. Could you join this dinner? The better run, better aligned organizations have more of that natural momentum. And then one that's not dinner, Slack messages. If you use Slack, Teams, whatever you use, do sellers reach out directly? And yep. I would say the better aligned organizations, you have sellers who are always finding opportunities to plug marketing in or individuals that have connections. Yeah. So touchy-feely, but it works.
It works. I love it. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining me today. If you don't find out more about you, where would you point them?
That's a great question. Does everyone say LinkedIn? Everyone says LinkedIn. Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. LinkedIn.com/in/Chris Moody. That's where you can find me. If you'd like to hear more crazy stories, like how I've been shot at, escaped a kidnapping attempt, ate with a serial killer, any of that stuff, you can just message me and we'll see if someone listens and personalizes their outreach.
Goodness gracious. Well, now I know what we're talking about right after this. Again, Chris, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you want to do an even deeper dive on building out your ABM program, we're actually hosting our next ABM in a Day workshop on November 13th. It is a full 6 hours digging into all of the reasons ABM programs fail and exactly how to fix them. And I know what you're thinking, 6 hours is a huge time investment. Admittedly, it is, but it's taking 6 hours to ensure you nail the next 6 months of your ABM program. In case you're wondering, is it worth it? The last time we hosted it, we got a 9.3 out of 10 on our content. So I can guarantee this is a worthwhile time investment to ensure you nail your ABM program. So if that sounds like something you'd like to do, go to scrappyabm.com/workshop to register today, and we'll see you on November 13th.